Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This, But. My name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. Today, I will be talking to a very cool guest who runs her own company with a very special name, the founder of Badass Unicorn, Alice Tahar. When it comes to personal development, there are few better at it than Alice. Badass Unicorn helps individuals fulfill their true potential by delivering workshops and training on personal growth and inspiring teams to get the best out of themselves. I wanted to talk to Alice because what I've seen of her is full on honesty and also some really aligning values in terms of how we need to look at ourselves and better ourselves, both in life and in person. So Alice's entrepreneurial journey started early, and judging from her experience, her ambition started from an early age. In this episode, we'll hear about how Alice got to where she got to today, a little bit about Badass Unicorn and the world of personal development, and finally, Alice's admission submission, and we go into a little bit more detail than we have in the past on those, which I think is a really great one. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This, But. Thank you so much for joining me today, Alice. It's great to have you here. I am super excited to talk to you because there's so many bits that I've read about you and listened to and things like that that I want to pull out from your own journey, but also the premise of Badass Unicorn. So shall we jump straight in?
Let's do it.
So it'd be good to hear a little about your life before Badass Unicorn and some of the things that you've got up to that led you to where you are today.
So I used to work in marketing, worked in marketing for 10 years. Most recently was at Deliveroo. I started there back in 2016 when it was still a little fledgling startup. And I went on a scholarship called the Marketing Academy. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's like,
I have.
There you go. It's like personal development. Parents get lost. It's just the best thing ever. And I just got really turned on by this thing called personal development. And it asked me questions like, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And if you could push a button and know you'd succeed, what would you be doing? And these just huge questions. And it came at a period in my life where I just come out of a difficult relationship. And I basically just took to it like a duck to water. And I think I just went full steam personal development geek on it. And I just saw how amazing this thing was and wanted to share it more. So I started to do workshops at Deliveroo. I started to do free workshops for universities. I started doing some talks. I started doing any panel that would have me on their stage. And the more I did it, the more I enjoyed it. And I have a concept that I call now called following the scent of, if you like the smell of something, if it gives you energy, motivation, if you want to do it again, just try and find more ways to do that thing. And then I had a bit of a career crisis. So I was heading up European marketing at Deliveroo, quite a big job. Thought I was a big swinging dick with the big job at the big cool startup. And then suddenly they were like, we're bringing in someone above you who's going to be the director of marketing and you're going to report into them. And it was like the most gut-wrenching, painful meeting of my life. I managed to stay there without bursting into tears, but shortly went home to my mum, drank shit tons of wine and snotted all over a tissue about how disappointed I was. And, you know, this happens sometimes in really fast-growing businesses. You don't quite keep up with what the role needs from you. But of course, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I put so much of my self-worth and my identity around having this big job with this salary and this job title and people thinking it was really cool or whatever. So then my confidence was really badly knocked. But because of personal development, I kind of said to myself, right, well, what does the personal development junkie do here? They don't let this defeat them. They use this as a springboard. And they ask themselves, well, why did this happen? What can I learn? How do I turn this into a positive? And really, it made me realize that I wasn't playing to my strengths. I wasn't necessarily marketing director or CMO material, but I'd got such tunnel vision about what I thought success looked like that I hadn't really stopped to think about whether or not I was growing in the right direction, if that makes sense. So then the whistle stop journey from there was that I was like, personal development's my thing. That's what I'm really good at. That's what I'm really passionate about. This is what's really helped me as part of this really difficult situation. So I then kind of dedicated more time to this passion project, making it more of a side hustle. I went down to 4 days a week at Deliveroo so I could do it more. I managed to pivot myself to the learning and development team at Deliveroo so that I could kind of do more of this thing full time. And then most recently took redundancy from Deliveroo to do the business full time.
Wow. Did you ever think that you'd start your own business?
Yeah, I always wanted to start my own business. I always thought, about 7 years ago, if you'd asked me, I thought I was going to create like a food brand. I had this brilliant idea. Someone can borrow it now. It was called Perfect Puddings, and it was puddings that were one of your five a day or two or three of your five a day. But the problem was I didn't really like pudding. I don't have a sweet tooth. If it had been crisps, I would have been fine, but it wasn't. But I liked the idea of having a product. I never wanted to sell myself. Like, I remember working in a marketing agency as my second job and seeing the CEO like have to constantly sell herself and having a client who told you what to do. And I was like, nah, that's not for me. And yet here I am quite literally every day selling myself. So I don't know quite how that happened.
It's such an interesting point, I think, especially for us in the world of marketing as well. Because you fall into it, don't you? I don't know whether you desire, like when you were coming out of uni, this was it. I knew what I wanted to do and this is the direction. A lot of people that I know have been doing it now for, oh my God, 16 years this year or something like that. Crazy. And majority of the people that I know fell into it, didn't have a clue what they were getting into when they got into it. And you do have that sort of existential crisis at some point, like, am I doing what I actually want to do? I know my career's not, I've never thought about it. I've just gone with the flow and things have gone in a direction that I'm now in a position that I never expected to be in. But again, I don't know if it's aligned to what I want to do eventually. I always joke that I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, always, because I've just gone with it and then I'm now here. So it's so interesting.
And that must be quite inspirational to your listeners when you've got someone with quite a big job at a pretty big company being like, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, and someone will be like thinking you're there at the pinnacle of your career, right? And you're right, we start a job at 21 when we don't have a bloody clue about who we are, and then it's based on a lot of the time, oh, what job's going to give me the best job title or the biggest salary, or oh, I want to move to London, or all those things. And sometimes the stars align and it's perfectly aligned with your strengths and your values and your passions and things like that, but the chances are it's actually not, because you'd be very lucky if all of those things just happen to be right for you. So I think whether it's having a crisis or even COVID making us sit up and realise that life's too short not to be doing a job that we really care about, I think a lot of people find themselves in this position where they're like, is this all there is? Am I in the right place? Am I playing to my strengths enough? And that can be quite a difficult place to be, but also an inspiring place to be, because if you're brave enough to say, all right, I'm going to try and figure out something alternative or explore what this itch I've got is, then it can lead to really exciting avenues, I think.
So then you were doing it as a bit of a side hustle. You were talking about personal development. At what point did you turn it into Badass Unicorn?
So when Badass Unicorn came into the world, I didn't realise that it was going to be the name of my business or my calling card, shall we say. But I was working at Deliveroo. Everybody wanted Deliveroo on the stage at their conference or a panel. And I loved public speaking. So every time I got asked, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll come and speak at Marketing Week or Ad Week or whatever. But I didn't want to talk about Deliveroo's growth strategy or marketing objectives or whatever. So I basically created this Frankenstein that was, what can we learn from unicorn companies like Deliveroo about personal growth? And so this thing came together with me trying to figure out how I spoke about a topic that I wanted to by leveraging what people wanted to listen to. And it really resonated with people because people were like really interested in unicorn companies. It was before 2019 and all of them started to go a little bit wonky. And I think people could really understand and associate, oh, right. So if these businesses are leaning into their strengths, if these businesses are thinking about themselves as brands, if these businesses are demonstrating resilience and it's working for them to grow and be amazing, then maybe I can apply some of those lessons to myself and grow like them. So it kind of really hit the nail on the head, and it helped me to talk about the topics that I wanted to talk about. And then at first, my business was just Alice Tahar, and my first website was narcissistically alicetahar.com, which I like to joke about, and you literally just landed on an image of my face. And then, like, gradually, people just kept associating me with this thing, Badass Unicorn. And I was like, right, well, maybe the business is Badass Unicorn. And then I decided to do my first public course, and I had somebody do like a logo for the course, and it was really cool. I only paid, I think, 100 quid for it. And I was like, oh, sod it. This is just going to be my business logo. So it was one of those things that just kind of, I didn't quite hiccup it out, but it was like a series of like connecting the dot moments that then I was like, you know what? This name's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And people seem to like it, and it's kind of original and punchy, and sod it. Let's just go with that.
Brill. So what is a unicorn brand? Let's take it a little step back for those that might not know.
Yes. So a unicorn business is a business that's worth over $1 billion and it's privately owned. So like some famous unicorn companies would be the likes of Deliveroo, Slack, Uber, Airbnb, Spotify. Some of those businesses have now IPO'd, i.e. they're traded on the stock market, but at points they hadn't been. And they were given the name unicorn companies because in theory, a business that's worth that much but is privately owned is very rare, except that they become more and more common over the past kind of 5 years.
Cool. And then on the other side of it is the personal development stuff for what Badass Unicorn is.
Yeah.
So it's something we hear of a lot, personal development. Throughout your career, you're always taught about personal development. Probably don't go into it in too much detail. What does the term mean to you?
So I talk about igniting people's potential through Badass Unicorn. I think at its essence, personal development is about self-understanding and self-discovery, whether it's listening to a podcast and asking yourself rhetorical questions, whether it's doing a course and going through the motions of doing exercises, whether it's therapy. I think it's really trying to get to grips with what you're about and then kind of doing something with it. I think what's core about the type of personal development that I do is it's about how can I bring more people's badassness to life? Because I think that we each have an amazing set of strengths and passions and stories. And if we can understand what those are, we can be fired up by the potential of those things and find more ways to bring them to the world that's going to make us feel more fulfilled, that's going to make the world a better place, that's going to inspire other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Cool. And what are the common themes that you get then? What do you notice is the things that people come to you for when it comes to personal development?
So I think a big thing is confidence. And I think a lot of people feel this sense of imposter syndrome, comparatinitis, self-comparison to others, and worrying about what people think about them. So I think that's a theme that I see a lot. And I think what personal development can help people to do is understand more about who they are, what they're good at, and that then gives them more confidence. But I dare say that stuff never really goes away. Perhaps you just have a little bit more gumption to say, all right, imposter, I've heard you and I'm doing it anyway, kind of thing. So yeah, and then resilience, stuff like that.
I did some work with the lovely ladies at Amazing If.
Love them.
And it was Helen, actually. She was doing a talk on values, and it was only a few years ago. And I thought, you know what? I actually don't know what my own personal values are. So I spent a bit of time just thinking and working through and figuring out what my values are. And it has helped my imposter syndrome no end, because I know that if I am doing something that aligns with my values, there's a reason why I'm doing it and that's what I'm good at. So it's like that validation, but also that comfort that you know that you're doing things that's right for you as well. And that was really helpful to me. And I think what you're doing with Badass Unicorn is taking it to the next level. Because I don't think you get told anywhere, how do you find your values? How do you understand yourself? And I presume that's what your workshops do, am I right?
Yeah, exactly. So you're bang on. We don't get taught a lot of this stuff at school. Maybe some of us did some of those psychometric tests that told us at 18 that we should be a teacher or a this or a that. Do you know what I mean? But you don't really get taught very much of this stuff. And yet it's so important. So yeah, I do quite a lot of free workshops, and then I have paid for programs that kind of dig into the detail. I think values is a really key one, you're right. And it's interesting as well, because when you know your values, You can understand also when you're out of whack with your values, and why certain things really grate on you, why you're finding this situation particularly difficult, as well as, oh yeah, I'm living who I am, and this is kind of in accordance with that. So yeah, I think understanding your values, and it feels like quite an esoteric concept, like, oh, my values, what is this? But I think you can do it in such a way that it actually becomes quite accessible, which perhaps you did, and then you're now seeing the impact of that.
Yeah, definitely. And you talk a lot about inspiration, and it can help other people fulfill their potential. What is it that inspires you, and then how do you use that to inspire others?
I'm actually about to go back into psychotherapy this week. And I share that because what you said about inspiration, I think what I'm now trying to get to the next layer of the onion on is what drives me and where my like needs come from. I have a need, and this is also inspiring because there's a dark side to every coin, right? Around, and we're probably moving into some segue territory here around like, I have a need to try and bring my best self to life. And I think that's pretty inspiring to like try and show up and try and bring yourself at your most impactful and your most value out to life. But it's also, it can be a bit troubling because it's like, well, why do I feel that need to have to bring that to the world kind of thing? You probably weren't quite asking for such a deep answer there, but there you go.
This podcast is all about that. That's exactly, and we'll go into it in a little bit more detail, I think, in a minute. And the final thing, like, I just want to know about Badass Unicorn before we do delve into that, because I think we can talk for a lot of time on it, is like, do you ever feel pressure to constantly be developing yourself because of your job?
I don't know if it's just because of my job, but yeah, I feel a lot of pressure. One of my values is explore. And exploring to me is all about exploring myself and exploring others. So that could be going to a new restaurant. It could be listening to a new podcast. But it's a lot of it is about exploring myself. And I'm deeply flawed. And I have lots of shit in my locker and skeletons in my closet. So I'm very much always on the lookout for things that are going to help me to get to know myself at that next layer of granularity. So pressure, but in a good way.
Yeah, therapy is so important for that, though, I think, because I've had therapy as well. I've not had psychotherapy, but I've had therapy, talking therapy. And it just that understanding of why I behave the way I behave has just helped me relax so much more in my whole life, not my just my work life, but my whole life. I know now why I react in a certain way to a situation. I know what the trigger points were. I know I've not been for a few years, and I definitely think that I need to go back. You know, you just like, last 12 months has been a lot. So I probably need to explore it.
And you're so right. I think, so I've done psychoanalysis about 5 years ago as part of like exiting this difficult relationship I was in. But I went there with a very specific aim. I mean, if you're going to therapy to find out if you should be leaving a relationship, it's probably a yes, but there you go. Took me quite a lot of money to realize that. Anyway, and now I went through a little bit of a tricky period first few months of this year, and it's the same demons showing up time and time again. Now, I'm a personal development professional for a living. I've done so many hours worth of personal development, and yet there are still these gremlins that I can't shake. And so after this period, even though now I feel a lot better, the saying is you should fix the roof while the sun is shining. And it's like, I want to go back. I want to have a bit more of an explorative journey. And I know that there are just some things that, even though I've done tons of work on myself, I dare say they'll never be fixed, but I hope that they can be a little bit more fixed than they are when they sometimes show up at their worst. Because it's very detrimental to my like quality of life when I'm in a really anxious
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Difficult place.
Yeah, it's an understanding, isn't it? I think you know sometimes that those things probably won't go away, but it's an understanding of why they're there and how to deal with them. It's what I found comforting personally, but it's not easy. And just before we do go on to the admission submission, what are your plans for Badass Unicorn? What are your dreams? What's the rest of 2021 into 2022 going to bring?
Well, I am nearly 6 months pregnant. So,
oh, congrats.
Yeah. So Badass Unicorn is going on a bit of a hiatus, actually. Part of this whole period of anxiety that I had at the beginning of the year was trying to figure out, oh gosh, but Badass Unicorn's my baby and now I'm having a real baby. But I'm a really ambitious businesswoman and there's loads of momentum and now I have to pause. Oh, maybe I'll hire somebody. Oh, but then I've got to spend money when I'm not earning money. And oh, like the whole fraught mix of like, what do I do? So I actually have decided that I'm going to take 6 months kind of, you've got to be careful with your language around this stuff because it's not a break and it's not a way, but I'm going to focus my energies on raising a human. And it's quite literally a personal development journey. I am right now growing a human and I will be keeping a human alive. So that's going to be quite a big explore for me, a new chapter. And then, you know, the truth is, like you, I don't necessarily know. I've got a North Star that's pretty clear, right? And it looks like helping lots more people with personal development. Perhaps having my own podcast one day. Who knows? Maybe there's a personal development TV show on Channel 4 coming up in the future. But I also think that there's some bits that I haven't worked out yet. Like, I know part of my purpose is children. I've always wanted children. And personal development and children, I think there's going to be something there, or helping parents coming back into the workplace. So I'm just kind of excited also to see how the business evolves and the new shape that it's going to take. And I'm not quite sure exactly what that's going to look like yet.
A little Badass Unicorn pony.
Yeah, exactly. The riding school is going to change. I don't know. I mean, I love that about the name. It's so versatile. I just use all of the associated words with unicorns and horses.
It's wonderful. Well, congratulations. And it sounds like, even though I know you sound like you've been trying to toy with what the right thing is, you're right. Understanding your values, knowing yourself so you're not comparing against everyone else in school, because that was my problem. I tried to just be everyone else rather than myself. And it was only as I got into being an adult that I realised that I'd wasted a lot of my time just trying to fit in. So it's, I think once you get into that, I reckon it will explode a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows? Who knows what it looks like? But I'm just going to keep following the scent, basically, and seeing where it takes me.
I love that. I love that saying as well. I think that's so useful. So before the podcast, I've asked you to come armed with an admission submission. So the podcast is obviously called I Shouldn't Say This But, because in each episode, I always try and open up with honesty and talk about subjects that you perhaps wouldn't see someone in my role as a managing director would usually talk about. They'd usually avoid these topics, things like anxiety, imposter syndrome, fear of failure. I could go on. So Alice, would you mind sharing with us your admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether that's about struggles you faced during your career, a secret about your lockdown experience, or something you're trying to overcome? So I shouldn't say this, but.
I shouldn't say this, but my ambition can be toxic.
Fascinating. So why do you think that is?
We might have to come back together in about a year's time after I've done 12 months of therapy, and I'll probably give you a more rounded answer. So one of the things that I'm really geeking out on at the moment is neuroscience and understanding how the chemicals in our brain work and what that impact is on us in the world. And there's a chemical called dopamine. You've probably heard it. It's the reward hormone. And we need this hormone to reward us for doing the right thing. So whether that was, oh, right, this is where we go to find berries when we were on the savannah, to now, oh, right, okay, this is how I get promoted at work, or this is how I make these decisions that are going to help me in life. When the situation happened with that demotion and I found personal development, it kind of became a bit of a crutch for me to take massive action on the side hustle and make loads of progress and, yeah, take initiative and be proactive. And that gave me lots of dopamine hits. And in a way, that's good, right? We want to be doing those things. But I think I've become a little bit needy on those things in particular for my sense of worth and sense of success. So then, let's say I found myself in the position that I was about 2 months ago, quite early stage pregnancy, hormones probably flying everywhere, shed tons on my plate. I said I was going to launch a new confidence course. And if I had done that course, I would have fallen over and perhaps had a little bit of a breakdown. But I felt such pressure because I kind of had said I was going to do it. Suddenly I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to be leaving the workplace. I need to build up my Instagram following. I need more CRM followers. I need more money in the bank so that I can buy all the maternity crap that I need. And I just put this huge amount of pressure on myself, even though I was already doing really well. And it just came to this point where I broke down with my partner and was like, this is not okay. Why do I feel the sense that I need to do this? And I think it's because I've got this slight addiction to, right, well, if I tick off the items on my to-do list, if I get another 100 followers, if I launch a new course, if I have more revenue, well, that means that I'm okay. And so this is some of the stuff that I'm going to be exploring in therapy that I'm trying to get to the bottom of is, where does that need for success come from? Why have I become so needy on doing things to feel good about myself? Because I talk a lot about confidence and self-esteem. People would say that I seem really confident, and I am pretty confident. I trust in myself and my abilities. But I think I have some cognitive dissonance, i.e. there's some tension between what I actually think of myself in my head. And that's perhaps why I try and do all these things, because it's like, if I can get the followers and do the course and have that mentoring chat with that person and be all of the things and tick all of the boxes, well, then maybe that makes me okay.
It's very interesting, because one of my values is achievement. Love a ticking off a list. Absolutely love it. But I know where mine comes from. I'm the daughter of two teachers. So I was always set up to be like that.
Your parents literally sat you down at dinner and were like, here's the red pen.
So I know full well where mine comes from, but I've never thought of it as a negative for some reason. I don't know why, but I can completely, now you've said that, it's really interesting. Do you think then, because there's a lot of people who have an obsession with success and we see it online all the time, this hustle culture that I've talked about a bit in my social feeds and things like that, where do you think that obsession, outside of ourselves and me having parents as teachers, where do you think that obsession has come from?
Well, I mean, social media doesn't help, does it? But that's kind of the easy answer. We think that the Joneses are doing so well and they're so much better and more successful than us and all of the rest of it. And it's funny because we know this shit. We know it's all rubbish. We know that everybody's using filters. We know that people aren't showing the sink full of washing up and the blah, 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 because that's not sexy, is it? And yet it's so easy to forget. I mean, nobody likes failure, right? We were taught as children not to want to fail. Don't fail on this test. Fear the red pen. And that's good to an extent. We shouldn't all be trying to be failures. I remember listening to something by someone from the England cycling team, and they were like, all right, growth mindset's all good, but if we were all shit and failing all of the time, then we'd all be without a job. But I do think there's like a nervousness around failure that can be unhelpful. And I mean, it's a scary thing, isn't it? When you ask in the survey, what would you rather be, an influencer or a nurse? And I mean, the statistics are just hugely around social influence, being an influencer, because it looks like fun, doesn't it? It looks like they're having the best time and they've got all the designer brands giving them stuff for free and blah, blah, blah. On the flip side, if anyone hasn't seen the Caroline Flack documentary, you can see how toxic that environment can be. And you think you want to be in the fishbowl and you want to be famous. And then I think for a lot of people who find themselves there, there's lots of pros, but it's also, it can be very unpleasant.
Oh, and you focus on the negative. I don't have many of them, but I did have one guy in the US who messaged me not that long ago calling me a piece of shit. I've never been called.
What for?
For posting about burnout and how it shouldn't be applauded.
Oh my, I mean, I kind of see it as a mark of success when I get trolled. I'm like, oh look, I've actually annoyed somebody enough that they're trolling me. Although for a lot of the time, like one of the reasons I'm also going back to therapy is that like I care a lot about what people think of me. So I can make a joke out of it. But if something actually went really horribly wrong, I don't know if I've got quite the wherewithal to be able to withstand it. If it was on that much of a public stage, I think I'd really struggle.
Yeah. It is interesting because I obviously I've seen little bits of it and I think you're right. Like there are many pros, but also you become very self-aware. And I think that is part of the problem. But again, I think it goes back to not knowing your values and why you want to do it. People want to do it because they see other people doing it. And as you say, getting the free stuff and they're just posting pictures and making a living out of it. But what are your values? What is your drive? What makes you and makes you want to succeed? Because that was going to be my question. Do you think we are all stuck in on the term success, like from one vision point? Like success is the same for everyone when you're competing, when in reality, do you see success as different things to different people?
I think understanding what each of our definitions of success is really important, because for you, it might be X, Y, and Z. And for me, it might be totally different. And I think my vision of success is actually changing, but there are a lot of typical metrics, aren't they? Money, holidays, nice car, Instagram followers. We think of those things as being successful, but surely success is just actually happiness. And you can have a very humble job, live in a humble house, blah, 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 and have so much happiness. We all know this stuff, that stuff actually doesn't mean anything, but we give it so much meaning. And I think as you get older, you do start to reassess things, don't you? And like, for me, I'm starting to think about success a little bit differently around, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to have as much revenue, as many this, and it's going to take me longer, but I am going to get to spend time with my kid. And perhaps we won't get to go on that expensive holiday, but we're happy camping in Devon. So that's fine. Do you know what I mean? And I think I'm starting to move, but I'm still jaded by the shiny objects, right? And I still get hijacked when I see people doing things that I would like to be doing, or with Instagram followings that I really want to have. You know, it's just, I think there is a certain element of it that's natural.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why it's important to continually check in on your personal development. Like, you don't just do one course with you and then leave it, and then you're done for the rest of your career, because your life moves, so you've got to move with it. And then your ambitions, your drivers, what is important to you changes as you go along. And I think that's something, we just don't talk about it enough. We talk about it as a buzzword, but we don't explore it as a constant. And I mean, I'm guilty of it. Been to therapy for a couple of times and then not been back for a couple of years. And I shouldn't wait. That saying you said before about fixing the roof while the sun's shining is absolutely spot on, and it should be the same for personal development. Like, constantly trying to figure out where you want to be rather than, right, okay, I've done that now. That box has been ticked.
The reason is not because we've all got our heads stuck up our asses. It's because we're trying to do the school run and get the shopping in and pay that bill. And like, everybody's so busy and trying to juggle a million things, work-life balance. So it is really hard, but we also know that self-care can be getting a massage or your nails done, or doing some meditation or some journaling, or going on a personal development course, whatever it might be. It is really important to have that check-in. But I also think there are times in people's lives where there's a really key juncture or need for it. And then there are other times when there are other things that get your focus. For example, my business is going to take a backseat while I focus on being a mum. And that's also totally fine. Can we have it all? Well, maybe if we change our expectations of what all is, right?
I think that's absolutely spot on, because I think we do think that we should be able to do everything and be super mum and still keep the business going at the same speed as you were before. Practically, I just don't think anyone could. Nobody could. And it's super interesting because my friendship group's like that. Like, they're all mums. And one of my friends is quite senior in the NHS, and she's had a hell of a year. But I know she feels bad about not being at home when the kids go to bed. But she also is very ambitious, and she wants to do good and she wants to do well. And I think it's that trade-off of understanding that you're doing the best you can with what you've got and how you want to work and how you want to live. And you're absolutely spot on, I think, with that.
So my final question for you then is, given everything that we've discussed from your experience, from building the business, from your admission submission, what two pieces of advice would you give to the listeners of the podcast today?
So I think the first one is knowing how you add value and what your strengths are, because I think that's foundational to all of this stuff. If you know what your strengths are and you're in a role that plays to your strengths, you will enjoy your work so much more. You'll be contributing in a way that makes you feel fulfilled. You'll have fun, et cetera, et cetera. I think people spend so much of their energy focusing on their development areas. Somebody calls it a development area or an opportunity. I just want to call bullshit. It's not an opportunity. It's a gap that you might need to fill. But I spent so much time trying to be good at analytics and Excel and all of this stuff that I just wasn't good at because I thought that's what I needed to be a CMO. Well, I never should have been a CMO in the first place. I should have been doing these other things, right? So I think knowing how you add value and feeling confident about that, and it's not arrogant and it's not you being a show off, and I've had to teach myself this, it's actually you being, it's you being selfless. If you know what you're good at, you can show up as that person, you can add more value more often. It's actually you kind of fulfilling your duty as opposed to you showing off and being up yourself about it. So yeah, I would really get close to what your strengths are. I mean, there's tons of free strengths tests. Like, I do free workshops about twice a year where we talk about strengths. And then obviously there's my paid for workshops as well. But like, figuring out what those things are, the best place to look is what makes you happy professionally, and ask for feedback. Strengths-based feedback, such a powerful thing. Get other people to feedback to you about what they think your strengths are. And then I think the other piece of advice would just be to be on a constant journey of self-discovery. And no one is ever the finished article. You're going to get things wrong. You're going to sniff something that you really don't like the smell of sometimes. But just to kind of keep on that track, because it is really rewarding. And then when you start taking action and doing stuff, you can have the healthy dopamine hit of, hey, I'm proud of myself. And I think that's a good feeling, right?
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. It's been so lovely to chat to you. And I want to wish you all the best with Badass Unicorn, the Badass Unicorn Pony. And your next journey into becoming a mum, I hope you have the best time. And I can't wait to see what you do next. But everyone, check it out. Check out the workshops. Look at the things you can learn from Alice. And thank you.
You're so welcome.
I have learned so much from Alice today, and it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with her and learning about her journey from a demotion to starting her own business and now helping to inspire others. It absolutely is amazing. I've loved it, learned so much. Thank you so much for listening in, and I will be back next week with another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But, where we will be continuing the office or working from home debate. See you next week.